Pray with me, church. In the beginning, God was your Word, and your Word was with you. And like you, your Word was God. For the Word of God that has been written down and that we hear, we thank you. And for the Word of God that is preached and proclaimed and changes our hearts, we thank you. And for your Word, God in the beginning with you made flesh, who dwelt among us and gave his life for us, we thank you. May your Word be written on our hearts today. Amen. I think today we need to begin with a little bit of Bible study. We sang earlier in one of our songs, "Rise up, church with broken wings, fill this place with songs again." And it's in that song, "Shouts in the North." And I think that's a good prayer. That's been my heart prayer during these last months. It's a prayer, though, but if it's going to be answered, it requires us to be, well, women of the truth and men of faith. That's what the song's first two verses say. And we become true. We become faithful as Jesus himself, as his Spirit, as his Word, fill our minds, our hearts, our lives. So doing some Bible study, mulling over and studying Scripture, that's one way we invite Jesus to fill us, to live through us. I mean, we all sang that in another song, "Speak, O Lord." I think it talks about that. So this morning, let's open our hearts, our imaginations to these words from John's story of Jesus. We just heard Corey read verses 5 through 8 from chapter 15. And if you have a Bible with you, I'd ask you to open it up so you can follow along, because we're doing Bible study. John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. In this passage, Jesus is talking. He's talking to his disciples, his closest friends, who are also his students, his protégés, whom he's going to hand the ministry on to later. Here in John 15, Jesus is opening his heart to them, maybe more than ever before, because he knows that in just a few hours, a mob is going to come and seize him and drag him away to humiliation, injustice, and death. He's getting his disciples here ready for what's to come, what's about to happen. He's telling them here only the things that are very most important. And so what we heard a few minutes ago, what you have in front of you, what does he say? What's most important to Jesus? Well, as I heard Corey reading and as I prepared for today, one word stood out to me. And that's the word "remain." Verse 4, "Remain in me and I in you." Verse 5, "Those who remain in me." Verse 6, "If anyone does not remain in me." Again in verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you." Seems like an important word. Maybe your Bibles translate those places with another word, like "abide" or "dwell." In Greek, the term is "menate." The point of the word is this living connection to Jesus. And through Jesus, to the very life of God. This eternal life that Jesus is always talking about. Remain. Stay connected. And you know, Jesus could have just said that. I mean, it'd be a lot shorter. He goes on for chapters and chapters here. He could have just said, "Stay connected to God." But where's the life? Where's the power? And that kind of sort of blunt command. Stay connected to God. What does it really mean, after all, to be connected to God? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Jesus gives his disciples a picture. It's a picture with roots that spread out all over the Old Testament and spread out in our imaginations. We're to be connected to God, to Jesus, like the branches are to a grapevine. We are to be one with Him, made of the same substance and filled with the same life. And we are to remain, dwell, abide in Him, to stay connected and not be torn away by some strong wind that blows this way and that way, or to be rotted away by the disease of sin. Now, let's look closer at this passage, because it's a good one. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them. And let's stop there, right in the middle of that sentence. Those who remain in me and I in them. We need to keep connected to the roots, to the main stalk of the vine that supports us. But we also need Jesus to remain in us. We need His life, His Spirit to be the sap that sustains us. And we're going to come back in a bit to ways that we can welcome Jesus' life into our own. If we remain connected, it says, and we remain full of life, then according to verse 5, we will bear much fruit. I mean, grapevines, they make grapes. And kiwi vines, do you know that kiwis grew on a vine? But they make kiwis. And melons grow melons, and gourds grow gourds, and cucumbers, cucumbers. What kind of fruit does this Christ vine, this Jesus vine, grow? I mean, what kind of fruit should you and I be growing? There's a lot of ways that people answer this. Some say Jesus is talking about evangelism here, and that the fruit is new followers of Jesus. That's a good thing. Others, they point to what Paul the missionary says in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you memorized these at some point. It's good fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are good things. Those are good answers. They are definitely things that Jesus' life grows in our lives. But here, during this late hour conversation in John, Jesus makes pretty clear exactly what kind of fruit He's concerned about, the kind that His life grows in us. It's love. All throughout this conversation, it goes from chapter 13 to chapter 17, love comes up again and again. In chapter 13, verse 34, at Jesus says, I'm giving you a new command. Love one another. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And then a little later, in chapter 15, down in verse 12, He says it again, my command is this, love each other. And He repeats it again in verse 17. Love. Jesus' love for God, His Father, the Father's love for Jesus, Jesus' love for His disciples, the Father's love for us, and our love for each other. Love shows up again and again and again and again in Jesus' final teaching here before the cross. The fruit that we need to grow is love. That's what's important. But love is only truly possible if you stay connected, devoted, attached to Jesus. Why would that be? Why can we only find true love and truly love someone else if we stay connected to Jesus? For apart from me, you cannot do anything. To verse 5. Goes on, if you cut off a branch from a grapevine, that branch isn't going to grow any grapes. I mean, no matter how many pretty blossoms it had on it before. Instead, what does it do? It dries up. It withers up. All it's good for then is firewood. And that's what verse 6 says here. Jesus says, if you cut yourself off from me, you're going to wither up. You'll dry out. And then you know what's going to happen? Someone's going to come along And they're going to put you to their own destructive uses. He says, you'll get burned. You'll be picked up and carried around and thrown in the fire to be burned. We could dwell on this warning a long time about all the different ways that we distance ourselves from Jesus, about the things that we allow to invade and rot away that relationship. We could talk about all the other, the people and the companies and the politicians that want to come along and scoop up our dry, withered cells and then use us up for their own ends. Well, we could talk a long time just about this verse. But I want to move on to the final two verses we heard. They repeat some of the same things Jesus has already said. I mean, and you know it's got to be important if he goes through the trouble to repeat himself. But he also adds to what he said. And he puts this picture into sharper focus. In verse 7, he adds, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. Here, Jesus makes clear that this connection, this relationship, it's not just plugging into some higher power. And it's certainly not just hero worship of Jesus being part of the Jesus fan club, though I'm a fan. Instead, for Jesus' life to be in us, his words, which in John include also what he's done, all that he's taught and demonstrated about God, his Father, his words need to fill us. They need to drench us, to mold us. Our God, my Jesus, this vine, it has roots that go deep. Long-laid plans, eternal desires for creation, everlasting love and faithfulness, truth and justice. That's what Jesus' words show us. If Jesus' words and works fill us up and stretch our hearts out into their proper shape once again, then, and only then, can we claim the promise that follows, that whatever you wish, ask for it, and it will be done for you. Only when God's life so fills our lives and minds that God's love seeps from our pores and in every whim and impulse, only that's when we can claim this promise that the things we want are truly what God wants. You know, if we ask for what God wants, what's going to happen? Why? Well, because of verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified. God is made and seen as great when we think and want and live in love. When we bear much fruit, proving ourselves to be Jesus' disciples. A little bit of Bible study there. But we need to be connected to Jesus. Amen? He is the root that supports us. He is the stock that supports us. He is the stem that brings us the living water we need to grow this fruit of love. Amen? That's getting better. For the next 3 months, we are moving into a special time. Now, it's not on the church calendar. I like the church calendar, Christmas and Easter and all that. This is a special time just for our congregation. For the next 3 months, Sunday morning is going to be digging down to find these roots that support us, that anchor us. And then we're going to be looking up to how the life of Jesus is pulsing among us and through us to bear this fruit of love. We're calling this a season for us to look at how we are, ready for it, it's in the bulletin, rooted and growing. We're setting these weeks apart as special to dig down to those roots that hold us up. You know, the basics of who God is and what God wants for us. I mean, how is your connection to the root, to Jesus? Have the winds of life, you know, the storms of conflict and rumors and lies, have they torn you away from the vine? From Him? Because you've got to cling tight to that vine. Or our sin and worry and fear. Those pests, are they gnawing away at your connection to Him? You don't want to let anything divide you from the root. Or could it be that you don't, if you're honest, you don't really know this person. You don't know who He is. You don't really know this Jesus, this God that He brings us near to. Have you forgotten the story of where we used to be? And this Savior who came to us to rescue us. We got to cling to this vine. So we're going to dig down to the basics, the roots of who we are because of Jesus. Or maybe you've forgotten where this world is going. That the kingdoms of the earth will become the kingdom of our God. That every knee will bow and every mouth say truly that Jesus Christ is Lord. You've neglected God's own Spirit that works among us. The ever-living breath of God, the presence of God's power and compassion. God changing the world right here, right now where we are. Have you forgotten the Spirit who is here with us? Because that holy and righteous and mighty Spirit wants to move, to move again on the face of the chaos and the vanity and make heaven and earth and even warm in Saskatchewan new again. That Spirit wants to move through you, the body of Christ, even through this body, warm in Mennonite Church. Have you forgotten? So we're going to dig down to those roots, and we're going to look up and out, spreading our branches, adorning them with the fruit of love, so that all the nations and all your neighbors can find shelter there and rejoice in the glory and the goodness of our God. And that's what this special rooted and growing time is about. Like I said, this is going to be a special time. So we're going to do some special things. Some Sunday services are going to be a little bit different. And if God is pleased to meet us here, well, maybe the rest of our weeks will look a little bit different too. Amen? It's because I was in Chicago, right? Like they amen down there. I don't know. Earlier I said that we'd look into ways that we can welcome Jesus' life to flow into our own. I mean, even after we make that initial connection to Jesus, when we ask God to come into our lives and offer our lives up to God because of Jesus and His death saving us, His life filling us, even after we come to Jesus for the first time, you know, we still need to put out the welcome mat. So he keeps coming over, right? Now, God's life, it pours down on us all over the place. So let's acknowledge that. Like we said earlier, every good thing, every blessing comes from God's hands. I mean, without God's kindness, without God's gift of life, we'd be left with nothing but... Well, isn't that what hell is? But here, every meal, every kindness, every sure and dependable thing in our lives, that's a taste of God's eternal life pouring down on us. But on Sunday morning, and at other times, but on Sunday morning, when we meet together, we come to meet God's life in a more direct, a more concentrated way. God's life comes to us through the praise and the worship, through our prayer together. I think I saw God's life in that circle of kids around Doug and Jane. Through studying, considering the Scripture together. I mean, I should probably also mention our communion meals and our potluck meals. So in these weeks marked off to focus intently on how we're rooted and growing in Christ, we're going to focus with the same intensity on these different practices of worship and prayer and study. during each of these three upcoming months, we are going to set aside one Sunday to focus on praise and worship. And we're going to have another Sunday just for prayer. Because when we worship God and thank God for what God has done, well, that's us remembering our root. And when we're remembering who this vine, who this Jesus is that we're connected to, our relationship to Him goes stronger. And like I said, we're also going to hold one Sunday a month as a prayer Sunday, as a time to come with our needs and the world's needs. Really, our need for more and more of God's life. In a way, this focuses our hearts on where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want to bear fruit. When we come to God with our requests, with our broken hearts, with the broken places of our world, suddenly we see so much more clearly where we need God's love on earth as it is in heaven. It shows us where we can grow. Well, in between these two Sundays, between the Sunday for praise and worship and the Sunday for prayer, we'll have Sundays where we focus especially on our study of what God is saying to us. We'll search the Scriptures like we did this morning. And I think we're going to use our membership commitments, our membership covenant that we affirmed last week. There were six statements as a guide for our study. We're going to take one by one, week by week, our affirmations about our God, about our story, about our Savior, our pledge, the Spirit, and our purpose. We will study what Scripture has to say about each of those. If you're looking at your bulletin, you may have also seen in today's service that we've put in some time for, I think it says questions and comments. Did that scare anyone when you saw that? I don't know. Anytime we have to speak up, it makes us a little bit nervous, right? But God promises to speak and guide and challenge His people, you know, not just through the thoughts of one person, but through the many, many of us studying and discerning together. On Pentecost Day, in the book of Acts, Peter quotes God's promise to the prophet Joel. He says, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit. God has given us all, through our connection to Christ, the power and the gift of His Spirit. God has given you the Spirit to speak, to question, to bring insights that maybe the preacher up here, maybe he doesn't see. So sharing those is part of what studying God's Word together looks like. So on these study Sundays, we'll include some time for discussion after the sermon. Now I'll even give us a few questions to sort of get things rolling. We'll try it out here in a couple minutes. By offering and dedicating more time to prayer and to worship and to study, we are coming forward and asking God to meet with us, asking God to fill us with God's life. We're asking God to show us our roots again, to grow them down deeper and wider, so that no storm or drought can knock us over. And we're asking God to stretch our branches up to the sky so that we can praise Him and that we can bear much fruit in love. I should also say that during the Sunday morning services, well, you know, our focus is going to be on how we all together are connected and growing in Jesus. But this kind of work, it needs also to be personal. It needs to matter for us each individually. We need to mind our personal relationships to Jesus. One-on-one. And so that's why beginning in a couple weeks, on February 5th, we're starting this new discipleship group. It's going to meet before worship at 9:30. That's a place where, well, I invite you to come and to grow closer to Jesus with me there. Today, we're starting off on this big adventure. It's kind of like, you know, a road trip, a journey. You set out with all of your travel plans, and I've just listed a lot of plans there. You have some idea of where you're going and what you want to do on the way, but then surprises come up along the way. And, you know, you stop off, and look, there's some friends who happen to be in town, and you visit with them. Or you take a detour on the scenic route. Or you just discover a neighborhood in some faraway city that feels so much like home. That there are these wonderful, unexpected things that you could never predict before you got in the car and set out. As we look to our roots, as we stretch higher and higher up to love God and others more and more, you know what? We're going to find surprises. You can count on that. We may find new friends. We may find ourselves on detours to places of such beauty that we'd never imagined before that there could be. We may find ourselves calling home strange places, all for the glory and joy of Jesus and God the Father. I am fully expecting God to bring the unexpected to us in these coming weeks. I am fully expecting God, through the Holy Spirit, to strengthen our attachment to Jesus. I fully expect God to flood us with the water of life so that we can bear the living fruit of love. I fully expect our roots to grow deeper, our branches to grow stronger. I expect God to do great things. One last time. Amen? Amen. There we go.